Blog Talk Radio.
That's it.
That's it.
That's it.
That's it.
Sonny Bird, little Sonny.
Put it all on us.
Yeah. I had to put it on somebody. Hey, Phil, what's your mama say? She say, boy, now I'm gonna tell you.
What?
You know you getting big now.
Yeah.
You gotta watch the things that you doing out in that street.
Right.
And you go to jail.
Right.
And I'm gonna tell you something, man. Mama wasn't wrong.
No.
But what about Pop? Oh, we ain't talking about Pop.
No, man. Pop, well, he was all right.
Pop was hanging out, you know.
Yeah, hanging out.
I think Pop was drinking more wine than we used to.
I know my Pop did.
Yeah. My Pop hung right over with you, boy.
Yeah. Stay out all night. Come on, clothes all wrinkled up. Lip balls all on them.
Hey, buddy. How about when your mommy cooked them good home-cooked bits today?
Enhance your mind. Recharge your spirit. Awaken your soul. Enhancing Awareness Radio. Enhancing awareness with clarity.
All right. Royalty, royalty, royalty to you guys. Thank you guys for joining me for another podcast of, we're on Enhancing Awareness Radio. And this is actually an introduction, okay? This is an introduction, October the 4th, 10-4-2-2. All right. Well, thank you, guys. Thank you. This new series is dedicated to my Gigi. I call her Gigi, Catherine Boyd Mask, right? Well, excuse me, Catherine Mask Boyd, right? Catherine Mask, and she married Heard, and then she married Boyd. But this podcast is dedicated to my grandmother. Ancestral Tea is going to be a series in which, you know, what do the ancestors want you to know? You know what I'm saying? So just whatever comes to me, whatever comes to, I'm excited about this series, guys. So I'm going to kick it off with altars, okay? So ancestral altar, guys, is very, very, very important. If you do not have an ancestral altar in your home, I would suggest you get one. So one of the basic remedies for an altar is going to be for you to get, you know, some type of table, you know, whatever table it is. As a matter of fact, when I first started out, I had, you know, one of those plastic bins, okay? I had a plastic bin, you guys, and I turned it over, and I put a white cloth on top of it. You know what I'm saying? That's how I literally started off, with a little plastic bin and a white cloth, and I put it, you know, wherever I was laid. I don't know where I had it in my home to start off with. I think I had it in my bedroom. But many of you guys are sensitive. I don't know how you guys feel about death and mediumship and connecting with your ancestors. Although, guys, wherever you put your altar, and we're going to have lecture to you guys, but I'm just giving you some of the basis of how I started out, right? So it depends on what you're most comfortable with. Me, personally, I was one of those kids who was afraid of death at first, right? So, being that I was afraid of death at first, you know, I shot away. And the reason why, the reason why is because the cave we fear to enter holds the treasure that you seek. So So I'm a medium, you know, and I channel and connect with the dead all the time, you know. They're really not dead, you guys. It's just that we have been taught and we have been misunderstood, you know, about death. There is a book, you guys. If any of you guys want to study death, you want to, you know, kind of get a different perspective, this is a book that helped me. It's a book called by Neil Donald Walsh, okay? Walsh is spelled As a matter of fact, guys, I'm going to put it in the show notes, okay? So that's what I like to do. I like to reference and put the link in the show notes. So I'm going to put the link in the show notes for you to purchase the book on your own. I don't know if it's an audio book, but you can do your own research, okay? Don't believe me. Do your research, okay? CG Paul Solo sung that song. Utilize that, guys. But Neil Donald Walsh's book gave me a different perspective, you know what I'm saying, on it when it comes to death. As a matter of fact, I may bring that to Ancestral Tea. I may bring that book. I may crack it open. I hadn't read it in a while. So you guys, there's that. Neil Donald Walsh's book would definitely give you a different perspective when it comes to the topic of death, guys, because you know, literally everything that we have been taught, you know, is a lie. And I dislike sometimes with that cold cliche, you know. But really, guys, we got a lot of work to do when it comes to unlearning shit, you know what I'm saying, that was taught to us that's not really true. Reconnecting with spirituality, you know, reconnecting with our ancestors through spirituality. And so that's what Ancestral Tea is going to be about. But one of the most important things is altars. So I started out with that being in my bedroom, although it was moved to another area in my home because I really don't want that kind of energy in my bedroom. You know what I'm saying? So most people, what they do is they'll probably have an altar of themselves in their bedroom, you know what I mean? But as far as your ancestors and, you know, people who have crossed over and all of that, you probably don't want that energy in your bedroom. Although, I do know, like Auntie LJ that was on here with us early on in the year, she said that she does have hers in her bedroom. And I have seen other people who have those in their bedroom. You know what I'm saying? So whatever your fancy is, that's on you, but you can definitely start out small, you guys, a simple picture, or if you guys want to write down, you know, the ancestral name. Sometimes we don't have pictures of all our ancestors, and you can also just write their names, you know, and things that you know they like. You know, my grandmother loved coffee, you know what I mean, and I attempt to give her a cup every morning, but sometimes, you know, that's just not what that is, although whatever little small minute things that they may have loved, you know what I'm saying? But you start to build your ancestral altar pretty much as you go, as you grow, right? So it really took me about 2 years to get my ancestral altar. Matter of fact, yeah, 2 years. Matter of fact, I think just yesterday I got my ancestral altar to where I wanted it to be, and it's still just a little things, but it will take time for you to get it to exactly where you want it to be. You know what I'm saying? So just be patient with it. Although there is a lecture that, two lectures actually. First, this is a late love. This lady, my ancestors, I know, sent her to me to help me and teach me. But Ancestor Altars Live Q&A, she's going to say her name, and she is going to, I'm going to put her, the reference and citing her in the show notes, guys. So I'm going to play several clips, but her playlist is entitled, my cat is going crazy. They love this podcast. So I'm going to put the playlist, the whole playlist, guys, in the show notes. So please be sure to reference the playlist. I will be back periodically to discuss, you know, certain key points and everything. But this is going to be a live Q&A that she did on Ancestral Altar. And then after that, I'm going to play 11 mistakes that we made. And I want to say that I've made some mistakes on the altar. You know what I'm saying? And one of the major mistakes that she said was whatever you put on the altar is for them. You know what I'm saying? So you may put something on the altar, then you may try to take it back and all of that. You know, that's like a no-no. And I kind of did that a few times, and I felt bad about it, you know. But, you know, we grow and we learn as we grow. You know what I'm saying? So let's go ahead and kick this off, you guys. If you want to call in, 929-477-3423, press 1 if you want to get in here and simply listen. All right, guys, so let's hop into it. Ancestral Tea, the premier ancestral altar Q&A about what to do and or what not to do. And, yeah, depending on what I come across, I may insert something else in here, but right now we're focused on altars. All right.
Good morning. Hi, I'm Melanie from Media Britannica. Welcome back. We're doing it today, no matter what. Q&A, ancestor altars, and all those types of questions. Remember, we're www.yayao.com, your modern approach to traditional beliefs. We supply all different types of spiritual and wellness supplies. And so this is why we talk about all different types of subjects. I first want to thank all the people who are here today helping me, Rose, Erica, Jamie, and everyone else who has helped us along the way. Thank you all for your support. I welcome you guys. Thanks for waiting. And first, we're going to answer some questions that are the hot questions that you guys ask about all the time. I'm going to do my best to answer the questions. I like to tell people there's no finite answer for certain questions. And so I will do my best. And there are lots of resources that are out there. And hopefully we are one of the main resources that you use and that you will share in the future. So the first question that we have today, ladies, which one is that?
Yes, everybody's still saying hello right now. The team's glowing. So we don't have any questions in the chat.
So I want to hear about where people are from. I really loved hearing about where you guys were from the last time. This time I had help because I was so overwhelmed the last time looking and reading from all of you guys. So now I have some help with some eyes for other people to help me look. So where are my people from so far?
Nigeria, Detroit.
Nigeria, Detroit.
UK.
She was from Nigeria. Eyes Wide Open is from the United Kingdom.
United Kingdom.
Philly's in the house.
Belize. Woo!
Atlanta, Baltimore, Rockville, Maryland, Birmingham, Alabama, Mississippi, Cali, Texas. Texas sending you lots of love.
Texas, we got a lot of you guys.
Nashville. Brooklyn.
Nashville. Brooklyn. I used to live in Brooklyn.
Bronx.
I used to live in California. Bronx.
Italy. Oklahoma.
Italy. I love you guys. Thank you so much. I love my Europeans. Italy.
St. Croix.
St. Croix. What? I used to live on St. Croix. My family's from Fredericton. Yay. I love that.
Ottawa, Canada.
Canada, my Canadians in the house. Love you guys.
Florida, D.C., Maryland.
All right. Very good. Well, you guys have been waiting. We're going to pop back in with you. So I want to start some questions. And because I have some help today, just be a little patient if I'm listening to what they're saying first. So I first want to talk just really briefly about why do people have ancestral altars? You know, I think it's, as I said in a couple of my videos, I think it's really interesting that people today are really lifting up the ancestors. And so there are a couple of people who I've met along the way who have been adopted, or they lived with a family that was not their birth family. People who are, I call, soloists, they don't really have anyone around, they don't have any connections. And I always say that you can still put something for your ancestors. Why? Because if it wasn't for them, you wouldn't be here. And, you know, sometimes people go, oh, my family lineage or my family today, I have so many problems with them, I don't get along with them, or whatever, right? But if we're being so limited, right? And I always say that human beings are so limited in the way that we look at the world. And if we're so limited in how we're looking at life and looking at the world, and we're only seeing the family that we know, that we may be having issues with, for the people who are having issues with their family and they have some resistance to having a space to lift them up. Remember, this is now. There's easily 4, 5, 6 generations that have come before you, and a lot of their blessings you have, right? They're people who they have the gift of singing, the gift of artistry, the gift of gab, the gift of making things, cooking, dancing, expressing, bringing people together. All of these different ways of being, a lot of times are passed to them from the ancestors, right? The people who, and they, I know there's someone in particular, I'm not really saying this, and so I'm going to be speaking a little bit to you, who the spirit is talking to, but it's a couple of you guys that fall into the same category. The spirit says that you're a person who you do not deal with your family, yet you are very successful. You're well-known in your field, if you will, and your financial picture is very good. And when ever your finances go down, it's like magic. Boom, you turn around and everything is worked out. These are blessings from the ancestors. So that is something to be honored. And I tell a lot of people, if you have the opportunity to do your DNA, you should do it. Why? Because it tells you all these different places that you have been in previous lifetimes. It tells you about how you have come to be here today. And so if anyone wants me to talk a little bit about past lives, I'm happy to do that. I notice a lot of people are talking about that. I've been blessed to be certified by Dr. Brian White, who is the leading past life regressionist in the world. He's done presidents, Mother Teresa, all these different people. I've been very grateful to be licensed by him. So if you'd like us to talk a little bit about past life regression and how our past lives and how it affects you today, definitely send me those comments. Maybe we'll make that one of our Sunday meetups together. So the first question that I have here is, I don't have pictures of my ancestors. Is that bad? Absolutely not bad. So it's not good and it's not bad. You just don't have them. If you have their name. So I just want to say the name of the person. It's Andrew from El Paso. He put this question out. So if you do not have pictures, totally, totally fine. If you have names, fantastic. If you do not have names, and this comes up a lot, people say, oh, well, you know, I only know my mother's side. I don't know my father's side, or I don't know his last name. Things like that, just put last names. If you do not have individual people's names, all the Browns, all the Moses, all the Jones, all the Libas, I lift you up, right? So you can put their names. You can also put mother side names listed, father side names listed. The pictures are nice to have, but definitely not a must have. Right, so my next question is from Shannon. How long do I wait to put someone on the altar? Fantastic question. I encourage you to watch my ancestor altar mistakes video, in addition to my ancestor altar must-haves video, because I do answer that question in the video. But for if you haven't seen that, or for those of you who want a refresher, we have here again Shannon. How long do I put someone on the altar? So there are a couple of things. It depends on your school of thought. So depending on your family lineage.
And just to let you know, guys, I'm going to include all of them. So everything on altars that she's going to be teaching on today is going to be included within this podcast. And her reference is also in the show notes.
So different religious groups have different time periods. And so if we're talking about from a Christian perspective, some people believe it's a minimum of 40 days. Right, and we can have a whole video just on 40 and what that's symbology. But in the circles that I teach a year. Why do I do that? Because it's four cycles. It's four cycles of the earth plane.
And I was taught a year as well, you guys. Like, give them some time. You know what I'm saying? I know we miss them and, you know, we want to, you know, call them and hope, you know, because we miss them, right? But you really have to give them their space, to be quite frank. Excuse me. To be quite frank, we really have to give them their space when they transition. So I think a year is suitable enough. I remember when my twin Frame passed, he came to me. It was around a year when, you know what I'm saying, on his anniversary when he had came. So give them about a year. That's accurate, guys.
We know that a baby does not come out in one cycle. A baby comes out in three cycles, right? The number three is very important, which is 9 months. Well, nine is the number of the dead, and so on and so forth. So again, for people that I mentor, I tell them a year. And I just want to say, I may say this a couple of times, you guys who saw, who was with me for the last live, and I said, if you're serious about mentorship and learning, I gave my email address, which I'm going to do again today. Please do not put in the comments, how do I reach you? I'm not going to respond to those. I try to respond to a lot of them, but I definitely am not going to respond to that because you need to see the video, and we have to be together for me to share that. And so the email address is Eleni. E-L-E-M-I at Y-E-Y-E-O.com. Like, oh, let me show you something. So again, Eleni at Y-E-O.com. Please, if you are serious about transforming your life and working on your life, then you're ready to work with me. If you're kind of just exploring and you're not really sure what you want to practice, I have many people who can help you to get to that place, to be ready for mentorship with me. So next question. So we have Trina. I do not have a private place to put an ancestral altar. Any suggestions? Got lots of those, honey. So many years ago, let me look for a little tissue and drink a little water and get a tissue. So about 14 years ago, I had a lady who was in a shelter. She was in a shelter with her daughter. And when she contacted me, in order for her to see a big change in her life, her ancestors requested that she do something for them. So I told her, do you have a windowsill? She said, yes. So I said, put it there. So you have a windowsill in your space. You can even put like a little temporary dining table. You know those little ones that you open up? They're only about this big. You put a white cloth, You put a large vase of water, ideally. If you can't put that, like, you know, flower vase or something. We sell the beautiful goblets, but use what you got. And you put the white cloth, vase of water, cool water to the top, and you can use tea light. You can use a little small candle just the size of your finger, and that's it. So some people, they're telling me to talk about this, so some people, they say, well, I can't keep it up all the time. The spirits don't like that. I want to be really honest. That's like you coming to my house, and I have a beautiful bed for you, have your own room, you've got your own bathroom, you know, I have everything for you, right? And every time you come over, I'm like, wait a minute. We got to go set everything up. So now you're either waiting or you can't be comfortable, or I had it for you the first time, but then the next 10 times you came to my house, I had nothing for you. Oh, you got to sleep on the sofa. Then the next time you got to sleep on the floor. Then the next time you got to do an air mattress. That instability, that up and down, is going to make you spiritually not grounded, not rooted. Stability is the key to spiritual success, right? So this is one of the reasons why the back and forth with the altar is not advisable. Okay, we're going to talk about this too. So I am going to be, I do an ancestral altar class every year. I've recorded that class I don't know how many times. We are going to have another one, and that will be listed. For those of you who are part of our YouTube family list, which is usually in the description box of our videos, and it will be at the upload of this one, you will find out about when I do those private classes. It will be also on our website. We will have a Q&A. People will be able to answer questions after that. So, sidebar. When a spirit comes to the altar, right, that's like me coming to your house, and your house always looks the same. And I come in one day, and it looks like a house that came from Japan or came from some other place, and I'm like, where am I? Right? Kind of like when you have that dream, and you're like, where am I in this dream, right? Where is this place? Consistency is really important, especially when you're new with your altar all the time, but especially when you're new. So that the spirit continuously has a consistent place that they come to over and over and over again. So that today it doesn't look like on Joe's house, and then tomorrow it looks like my place, and then another day the candle's here, but then it's over here, and then it's over here, and then today there were 10 glasses, but today is only one, and tomorrow there was white candles, but then the next day it's only red. You need to try to keep it as consistent as possible. The flowers on the altar is the one thing that I would say, don't worry about that. If you have fresh flowers and after a couple of weeks they die, okay, well, I haven't gotten around to getting more flowers today. Okay, so then the next week you do it. You don't want to become a slave or a prisoner. People that I mentor, you guys know who you are, I always say, do not become a slave to the spirit. Don't neglect them, but don't become a slave either, okay? So I gave you a suggestion about a private place, which is, it could be a windowsill. It could be in your bedroom, because I know you guys have questions about it in the bedroom. It could be in the bedroom, but I always like to tell people, put it in a closet that is safe if you're going to put any candles in there. Or you get a screen, and you put the screen around it so they know this is my room inside of your room. Okay? So we've got Jordan. I have a strong connection to my father. He wasn't in my life as a child, and I found out he passed away. Can I put him on the altar or get a reading? I think it's totally fine to put him on the altar. If he's passed for a reasonable period of time, you know that he hasn't passed under any self-inflicted circumstances or nothing that is really violent and tragic. And it's been whatever the period of time is that, either one I've discussed or two that you're comfortable with, I think it's totally fine. When you're putting him on the altar, though, you need to make sure that it's refreshed that day and that you're putting down things that are inviting for him, food, some light, fresh water, maybe some flowers. The flowers are very good, especially for the dead, but definitely when you're introducing spirit to the altar. Okay? So next question, Harry. How to connect to my ancestors? General question. Well, today we recorded an ancestor power bath. Woo! You guys are going to love that. You know, the biggest thing that you need to do is to pray. I don't care how many kinds of things people want to use, spiritual baths. I'm a big, strong proponent of that. I believe that that strengthens and it pulls different guides. But prayer is the most important. And you need to pray with intention. Do you mind asking, there's a bag over there with some books. So you need to be praying for them, not for you, right? So there are quite a few people that I read and the spirit will go, this is all about you. What about us? And they go, well, I put water there, I put food there. Yeah, thank you. But the spirits are like, we need to hear what we need to uplift us, right? So my suggestion is that people find different kinds of prayers from all over the world. If you come from a Christian perspective, you're going to need to read the Bible. You're going to need to read some Psalms. Because this is what helps to elevate the spirit in their realm. If you were a Muslim, I'd be telling you to read from that the Quran or the Torah, right? Any perspective that you have, that your family lineage has, that you are aware of, you need to first start with that as your foundation, and then you can start branching out. So as an example, I'm an ordained minister, so the Bible that I use is either my Bible from childhood, which I love, or I'll use a leadership Bible, right? Because I get to read, and then I get to also look at what are some of the lessons that are in this passage in particular for me that Spirit is giving to me that I read with them. But as an example, my grandmother, my great-grandfather, so on and so forth, these are religious people. I'm not going to go to the altar just only talking about myself. I'm going to go and I'm going to give them some prayers from what they consider to be spiritual food, right? This is what they love. This is what they want to hear. In addition to playing music that sounds like things that are cultural for them. So as an example, people are from the Caribbean. If you have an altar, you need to be playing some Caribbean religious music, right? And play some regular music that they would have listened to when they were alive. But if you are non-denominational, you come from a non-religious family, prayers from the Bible. Why? Because a lot of people's names are religious. That's one. And two, if in your immediate family they're not, 9 times out of 10 people in the New World have something from Christianity. And then you can bring in, like I love Baha'i prayers. I love Hindu prayers. All these different things. Bring these things into your practice so that then you can also touch more ancestors as you're praying. But prayer, 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 right? That's the first way to connect, and food, right? Because we all get together around food, all right? Thank you. So, Elsa, can you ask someone who died violently at your altar? Man, I wish you guys were present. I wish you guys were here in person because we've had this question so many times. Again, you need to see the videos for altar must-haves and altar mistakes because we talk about that at length in that video, but this is still a hot subject that comes up all the time. Violent death should not be added to the altar. I'm going to say it again. Violent death should not be added to the altar. Self-inflicted death like suicide should not be added to the altar. People who have had a long history of violence and maybe some substance abuse and have kind of caused their own demise, it's not advisable to add them to the altar unless you have very strict instructions. I want to give you guys as much information as I can, but in a live and in a one-off question, I can address exactly your situation. So this is a general answer. I would not add them. Even people who have died of really, really bad illnesses where the person was angry about their illness and angry about leaving the earth plane, you want to get that checked. You definitely want to find out, is it okay? Is the person enlightened enough? And so the flip side or the under part of that question and the answer is, if a spirit is not enlightened enough, they really should not be at your altar. Why? Because they're going to be living off of your life. This is why you have light at the altar, to enlighten the spirit, right? So definitely come and take my class. I think we are taking a lot of notes, even though I provide notes in my classes. So the next question, and so ladies, just helping me, if any of the answers seem like I need to add some more, definitely let me know.
Well, one of the key topics coming up is, well, I've already had this person on my ancestor altar all this time. Now what do I do?
Now you get it read. That's what you do. You find someone to read that particular spirit and ask about that particular spirit. Is this person supposed to still be here? Because sometimes you have to put a separate altar for that person where they don't get to integrate with all the other spirits. They need to be by themselves. Some spirits can be very problematic in someone's spiritual frame. I give an example. You guys know I love to give examples for thousands of people after 20-something years of reading. So I had a situation where someone that I was going to initiate, they had a relative on the altar. And the relative died under some of the circumstances that I mentioned earlier. And the person started focusing on that particular relative, started burning candles for them, all kinds of stuff. They almost lost their job. Things started jumping off, car accidents, you name it, all kinds of stuff started happening. So much so that the person was driven to have a reading. When they had a reading, they were told, you pull this more in the dark than they're in the light. And it's almost like the person who's in a glass building with a baseball bat breaking all the glass. So I'm not a dead person. I can only just speak to you about my experience, what they've told me, what I've seen. I do contact, so I contact people who are deceased, and so on and so forth. So if you already have them there, it may not be a problem. You may enlighten them enough that they're okay. But I would definitely, when having the opportunity to read that out very specifically, to ask someone who does contact or someone who is very versed in ancestral and work and dealing with people who are on the other side, definitely asking about that particular person. And I think it sounds like what you're doing is fine, and I believe that person who's passed on is a male. Right, because I don't think it says that here. It doesn't. But the person you're asking about, I believe it's a male. Eyes wide open, 360. So next person, we have Sierra Leona. I was adopted. How can I set up an altar? Well, that was the first thing we talked about in the video. I said altars can be set up for people who are deceased. Altars can be set up for people who are adopted, who are in families who are not their own. Don't worry about that. When you put it up, you start with one glass of water or 12 glasses of water on a white cloth with a small candle for 9 days, little small ones for 9 days, and you just say, I open this table, I open this altar for all my ancestors of love, peace, and light. Now you guys are really learning something that I give to people that I mentor. Love, peace,
in life. If they're not coming for any of those reasons, this altar's not for them. And you need to make that very clear. Because by saying those things, you're also courting off the space for your guides and your ancestors in love, peace, and life. And if they're not for that, then those things are not for them. Okay? So did I answer that one? How do I know when to add additional glasses to my altar? I have had three glasses for years. I love that three thing. So I have to say that that's not something that's easy to answer just in this medium, because I don't know what your glasses are for, the three glasses that you have. They're supposed to have a purpose and have an assignment. I don't know what yours are for. I think that it depends on how advanced you are in terms of your spirituality, your connection to your people, what gifts, what energies have come forward. Are you dreaming them? Are they giving you guidance? Do you know that that connection is strong and that it's there? And adding additional glasses are very much tied to people's lineage. So a lot of times people, I go to their house or I look on Zoom and they're showing me what they're doing, and they have some people have seven glasses. That is a move up from the one or the three glasses on your altar. So it's for a more advanced altar. People have seven glasses. People have nine glasses. I've seen 12 glasses. A numerous amount, right? So I would have to say that one, it's based on your development. Two, it's based on guidance that you have. And three, it depends on what school or what lineage, what line you're in terms of how many glasses you're supposed to have on your altar. But I think that if you're feeling that feeling, I guess I'm supposed to put more glasses, that could also be your people kind of saying it's time to get to the next level. And so next level doesn't necessarily mean glasses. It could mean they want you to get to the next level of your learning how to take care of them. I'm going to be doing a video very specifically on a couple of videos on some things that are necessary to strengthen your connection and strengthen the power or the energy, the ashe of your ancestors with you at your altar. All right, this is fun. I'm enjoying this, guys. I'm really appreciating being here with you. There's so many times I give you questions. It's like, oh, gosh, I can't answer this question every single time. So it's so good to be able to do it now. All right, so we've got Princess Nubian. I find having an altar invites spirits that keep me awake at night. How do I stop the spirits from interfering in my sleep? Well, good luck with that. So if you're doing a lot of spiritual work at night, nighttime is their daytime, and daytime is their nighttime. So this is why they're really active at night. So my suggestion is that you not do too much at night. You know, like if you're going to do things at night, maybe give yourself an hour before you go to bed, kind of wind down a bit. If you have an altar in your bedroom, you need to put a screen around it so to kind of say, okay, you guys need to, like, you know, bring it down. This is your room. This is my room. If you're very sensitive spiritually, that can also contribute to you being much more aware of them at night. But one of the things that's kind of a old school thing that I've told many people, we tell people in the store, is you can put a little bit of camphor and water by your bed, but that's really more to keep away disturbance, bad dreams, things like that. I'm not really clear if you're saying I do that you want to stop the spirit, so it feels a little bit like they're disrupting you. So that's where the camphor would come in versus they're just keeping me up, right? So there are other techniques that can be used, but I would say that if you're doing spiritual things right before you go to bed, that's going to keep you up. If you're taking strong spiritual baths right before you go to bed, that's going to keep you do have a lot of activity spiritually in your space, that's maybe something that you may need to look at. It could be that your house needs some kind of spiritual adjustment, especially if there are a lot of spirits that are not yours. And I get the impression that there are some spirits that are there that are not yours. Okay, next. Is it this one? Oh. Oh my God, children, I love you guys. Hey, we got St. Croix. Woo! We've got Robin from Brooklyn, Phyllis, my goddaughter, hello. Elaine from Canada, hello, hello. Thanks for joining. It's been a while. Thank you for the shout outs. I love you guys. Thank you. Is this a question? Oh, no. We've done more. Greenville. How do you pronounce that?
Nisha.
Nisha.
Femme Divine from London.
Femme Divine from London. What a name. I love that. When I'm coming to London, I'm going to have to give you a shout out. Definitely so I can see you guys. Are there any other questions that you have? Because we're going to be wrapping up shortly. Not related. The questions not related to ancestral.
People were asking about putting other things to their altars, such as items related to the Orisha, statues,
okay.
Colors, things like that.
Talk about past lives. A lot of requests about past lives. Okay, I may talk about it a little bit, but that would be for another us getting together live. So I want to get to one of the things that people talked about. And so, again, my friends, my pretty, pretty people, the video on must-haves and mistakes for the ancestral altar, it is listed in our channel. I want you guys to watch that because most of your questions are already answered in those videos. But I'm going to mention it again, especially for you guys, what kind of means to the family, right? An ancestral altar, you have your ancestral altar here. So this is one of my ladies. She's here visiting, and she wanted to come today, and she's here. She's looking all cute. Got all her little bracelets. She's got this. She's got chains. I had to take some of her bing bang off. But she wanted to be here in a video with us today, one of my people. So if you have an ancestor altar, it's not for Orisha. Ancestors are dead people. I'm going to say it very bluntly. Ancestors are people who have walked the earth, who are, okay, got it. So there's a ladder, and I've done quite a few classes on this. People who are in my meetup from New York, I started the first nationwide Orisha meetup group in the United States, and that group is now going on 15 years. All the other groups that have done Orisha this, Orisha that, has come out of my group. We've been the first in the United States. In that group, I've talked about the ladder, spiritual ladder, of the levels that spirits are on versus Orisha. As you think about Ifa, the Yoruba faith, and so on. When you're talking about ancestors, Orishas are not supposed to be on an ancestor altar. They're not dead people. They need to be separated. So I tell people, if you are limited on space, then let's say the middle part is for the ancestors, one side is for Orisha, one side is for something else. They should not be mixed up together, right? For people who are into Catholicism or they have patron saints of a family, let's say in your family, your grandmother, your great-grandmother, your aunt, your uncles, whomever, they dealt with, let's say, St. Clair, if they use that one. St. Clair is the patron saint of the family. Then maybe St. Clair's statue would be by the ancestral part because this is what the ancestors look for. But overall, saints don't get mixed up with the items for the ancestors. Spiritual organization is a part of the key to your success. Remember I said stability? Spiritual organization is something I'm very big on. I teach it. It's one of the reasons why I do these videos. because the more organized we are spiritually, is the more clear our messages, the more clear our communication, the less diluted it is. Did I answer that one? Any other questions? if you're preparing white candles for your ancestors, then, you know, absolutely, you can prepare some really beautiful things for them to uplift them. But it needs to be about them, not about you getting them to do something for you. That's not the particular, that's not really how the ancestor altar worked in that way.
Another general question, you don't have to just write down your answer.
I said that in the beginning of the video.
Okay.
All right, so just, I just don't want to keep going back, and especially for those of you who have been watching from the beginning, I don't want you to necessarily get frustrated with me repeating the same answer over and over again. So we are going to upload this live, so you'll be able to kind of go back very slowly and see some questions answered that maybe you may have come on a little bit later that may have already been answered. This is from Sandra. Is an ancestral altar the same as a spiritual?
Cuadro espiritual.
So, again, this depends on your school of thought and it depends on your training. The ancestor altar encompasses some of that, but if you're talking about from a Spanish perspective or a Latin perspective where they talk about the bóveda, well, the bóveda is oftentimes called for the ancestor. But there's also a part of that that is really only for your spirit guides. If you have Indians that are spirit guides, madamas, Francisco, all these different types, gypsies, and so on, those normally are not integrated into the ancestral altar. It can be on one side and the other side. Remember, we talked about organization. But is it the same? It's more the same for the word bóveda versus that word is throwing me off.
The cuadro espiritual is like your spiritual court. Spiritual court means C-U-A-D-R-O.
That's what I thought. This is a typo. Okay. Okay. So that's
just
a typo. Yeah. So did I answer that one?
I think so.
Any more? Yeah. Oh, okay. How do I? It's a very nice question, Deborah. How do I know if my relative's dad is at peace? I have no idea. That's something you have to read out. Unless it's come to you in a dream, and that's something you can also ask the spirit, can you give me a sign? Can you give me a sign from you, you say their name, that you are well? You're at peace, right? There are many ways that you can get that. You can get that through just looking at symbology in the world. If you go to spiritual circles, anyone who is interested in participating in my virtual spiritual circles, comment, and when the video gets uploaded, please comment. I do private spiritual circles on a regular basis, and we've been doing them on Zoom, and they've been extremely effective. For people who are already mediums, who are already developed, you can sit with me and sit with some of the other people that I mentor and definitely learn how to grow your gift, participate with us in community, receive spiritual information, give spiritual information. If you're interested in participating in my private spiritual circles, comment. But when the video uploads, definitely use our list, our YouTube family list, to let me know that. But definitely feel free to comment here if you're interested in participating in the virtual spiritual circles. These are private circles. They're not open to the public. So if I don't have your email, right? So I did answer the question about how do you know if others know that. So I'm going to get ready to answer my last question. Is there anything else before I answer this one that's a little bit unrelated?
There's one question from Talma G. She says, is it okay to make offerings for my husband's ancestors on his home? mind during different parts of our shrine room that I dedicate more time to upkeep.
Absolutely. So I cook for my husband and sister, and I love doing that. Absolutely. When you live in a home and, you know, people, they have their spouses, have altars or your partners. I had this come up this past week where one spouse put their partner's ancestors on their altar. XXXXX. No, they're supposed to have their own altar because you do not share the same ancestry as your spouse. If you do, then we need to have a separate conversation. That may be in a certain country, but definitely not in the United States. So people are supposed to have separate ancestors for the most part if you are in a relationship. And so if you're working on your connection with your guide and you have your spouses, people there, they can become very dominating. They can want more food and more this or more that. And if also if the family lineage of the other person is not the same as yours, that's just adding a whole bunch of confusion, which is just a sidebar. That question that was not asked in the video today, in the live today, but it definitely has been asked to me in the past. So I just kind of wanted to address that. Absolutely, she can give them food, coffee, water, all of that. I wouldn't get into refreshing their glasses. I think that is really the responsibility of the person who has it, and that's a way that the ancestors see the person putting in some level of sweat for them, some level of effort for them. We're not talking about, God forbid, the person is ill or they're not available to do it once in a while. That's a different story. Or if you have a small child, that's a different story as well. And nobody asked about children, so I guess when you guys take my class, you're going to ask them. But in terms of putting food, absolutely, that's totally fine.
The last one, the media's class question, the Lunar Empress is asking, does it mean the ancestors are pleased and the water on my altar is full of bubbles?
Yes, now we're getting into class questions. So I'm going to answer this one. So the bubbles is fantastic, right? So the air element and the water element is a part of what moves spirit. Spirit, S, and spirit with no S. In general, spirits travel through the air, and the water is a catalyst for the spirit, in addition to the fact that water has oxygen. So absolutely, when you see that, it tells you that the spirits are coming. They're coming to absorb whatever the energy or the forces that you're providing for them. Good? All right, so the last question that we have today, and I really appreciate all of your participation. Really, really appreciate it. I've never done a Q&A this way, only in live or classes. And so I hope that answering these questions today really help you guys and definitely help your friends, family, people that you know who are getting on this journey of honoring your ancestry and honoring your lineage. It's really great. It's an upliftment. It heals a lot of pain in families. It heals so much in you guys' lives that it really heals your life. And it makes you feel empowered when you're walking in the world. I'm here. My truth is behind me. My army is behind me. Let's go, right? Versus feeling alone and feeling disconnected. I pray that you have a space for your people, uplift you, and this has uplifted me as well, just sharing this information, having spirit saying, oh, I want you to take my stuff, and all of these different things. So the last question. The last question that we have today, you know, I keep wondering what sidebar is. So you guys know I have my bell, me and my bell. And, you know, and I love ringing this bell. I ring this bell in my house. I ring it at night. All the time I'm ringing my bell. And so there are a couple of times where I did like this session with people and I rang it at the end before I said goodbye. So I'm curious to know what you guys think, if I should be ringing my bell at the beginning and the end too. But here's the question. So this is a non-ancestral question. This is from Wayne Davis. It says, my house is 100 years old, I had it cleaned. It worked, but the activity returned months later. Any advice? Yeah, you got some stuff in your house that needs to totally be removed, and it could be where the property is located. And so sometimes we take for granted where our properties are located, where they live, where they built this house on, right? And sometimes there's spirits of the land that you cannot get rid of. You have to become friends with the spirit and say, well, I'm here. I moved to this house and you were here before me, so let's just have peace together. I have a friend who, whenever I used to sleep at this person's house, I would see this guy walking up and down the stairs, or I'd be at the house and I'd be like, is there someone on the stairs? He says, oh, well, you know, the guy's there before I bought the house, and he was here with the other owners, and, you know, he said, doesn't bother me and I don't bother him, and we live here peacefully. If the activity is problematic, then I would have to say that you may need to get some people who are a little bit, I don't know if it's into your space or what you did. But there are different types of spirits that are in houses. There are people who have died tragically that are in houses that are tied to the house, and they will not leave the house unless you have someone who can do a very strong exorcism to get them out. There are people who are more advanced, people who are advanced that are watching this video, like me, who can trap a spirit in a house.
What?
Where are you? Comment below. So I'm just joking. And you have someone who's really advanced that can trap a spirit and take it out of the house again. So I'm not really clear on what your issue is, but you may want to find out about where this property is located in history, because sometimes that makes a difference. Sometimes that really makes a difference, and sometimes there's nothing you can do about it, or there's things you can put in the house, like in the Bakinda system. I'm a priest in the Bakinda system, which is where Halamayombe comes from. In that system, there's a type of house that you can put in your house so that visiting spirits stay there, right? Much more advanced conversation. That's not going to be a 10-minute video. It's not going to be long. That'll be a private class. So, everyone, I hope that this is helpful. I love spending time with you guys from all over the world. When I'm going to travel and visit, I'm going to make a note from where some of you guys are from so I can reach out to you when I'm coming to visit your country. And love you. Keep those ancestral altars going. This is so positive for you. So positive for you, for your children, for your bloodline. And I want to say, because the children have come up 4 times today, and so I wasn't going to speak on it, but I am going to speak on it now before I close. You can integrate and bring your children into your religious practice. They need to know. They already know who some of these ancestors are that passed on when they were growing up. This is good for your family. Why? Because it strengthens your family, strengthens your lineage. It strengthens their connection to themselves, to you, to their extended family. So anywhere that you can integrate your children into your practice in a way that is not intrusive, that is easy for them, I like to tell parents, let them fill the water up. Let them put the food. Let them put the coffee. Little things like that will help them to become even more comfortable in honoring the ancestors. So again, give me a thumbs up. Hit my bell for notifications so that you and I, we can stay in touch. In addition to my YouTube family list, remember that list, you will only see certain events that are private, will not be out there for everyone else. See you next time. Ashe, ashe, ashe.
Even if your team's not in the same place, your work can be. You just need Asana. Asana organizes work so teams know what to do, why it matters, and how to get it done. Try it for free at asana.com. That's Asana.
Hi, I'm Eleni from Yayo Botanica. Welcome back. You guys have been fantastic. Thank you so much for your participation. We took a little hiatus, but now we're cooking and we're back in full effect. So remember, we're www.yeyeo.com. Yeyeo.com. We are a spiritual and wellness supplier, so this is why we do videos about all things spiritual. So at the end of the video, I'm going to be having, or during the video, I'm going to be answering one of you guys' great questions. Oh, my people from Germany, thumbs up. Thanks for subscribing and participating. I'm going to be shouting you guys out wherever you are. Today, we're going to do a video on Florida water and you making a beautiful base Florida water cologne for your spirit guides. You can use it for spirit guides and you can use it for ancestors. So let's get started. So this is so easy. It's so wonderful to do.
All right, guys, I'm sorry about that. Florida water is not what we're going to do right now, but we're going to do the must-haves and mistakes. So let's see.
Hey. I was low. Yeah.
All right, you guys. So I think it's important to understand spirit guides and ancestors, and then we'll go back into the must-have and the mistakes that we make at altars.
Ancestral veneration is a whole big conversation unto itself, and today is really kind of going to be an overview. I have more advanced courses that I don't have in the Botanica, so people either have them one-on-one or they have them as a group. And then we can really get into the types of ancestors, the different layers of ancestors, how do we venerate them, different kinds of ceremonies that are done for them, and so on. We're not going to be doing all of that today. We don't have that kind of time. Today we're going to get into the different types of spirits that people think are either their guides, they know they're their guides, or they identify with them. That's one group of spirits, right? Then there's the other groups of spirits that are much more elevated, like saints, right, versus archangels. Because people throw saints and archangels in the same category. They're not really in the same category. And again, they're more in-depth sessions that we can have where I'll go through the spiritual ladder. And I do that in a very advanced course that I teach. So then we have only spirit guides. We have family guides, guides that have passed on from one generation to the next generation that they follow different relatives, if you will. So some people say, oh, in my family, it's San Lázaro, St. Lazarus, Babaluaye, this one here, who looks very European by his complexion, but he's really from Dahomey. He's a part of the Fon people in Africa. And he is an adapted spirit in Cuba. If you go back to the history, he's really not down in the books in the Catholic Church, but we can have a long conversation about that. But the point is, he, in particular, he is a patron saint of healing, and he's a road opener. So a lot of people will say, oh yeah, my grandmother, my grandfather, whomever, and I venerate, right? So that's going down different generations. They are some energies that follow in a family, but they are, the other flip side is people will venerate them even if they don't know if they attached or they show light to them. Do you understand what I mean by that? Give me an example, anyone. If you can't, we're going to keep going. So I'll give an example. I say, I love Santa Barbara. I love, anytime I have a problem, St. Barbara is my go-to. For certain problems, right? I may say that all the time, but that doesn't mean that St. Barbara actually came to work with me. You like that one? Did you get that? But because many times people can say, oh yeah, I worked with that saint, but it doesn't really work for me. Well, it doesn't work for you because that energy may not be the right combination for you. That's different than a spirit guide that has been assigned to you when you pass away or when you're born, excuse me. When people are born, they say that there's a school of spirits that are there, ancestral spirits, in addition to different guides that automatically go kind of like, let's say this is the person being born. Okay, I'm here, we're together, let's go. Do you understand? So those guides can be relatives, they can be non-relatives. Spirit guides can be relatives and non-relatives.
All right, must have.
Grandma, where are we from?
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Melanie from Yayo Botanica. Welcome back. I really, really appreciate all the support, all the participation from all of you. Today's video is about the ancestral altar must-haves. There was so much participation for the 11 mistakes made at the altar, I decided to do this one. So definitely give me a thumbs up, subscribe, share us with others, hit the bell for notifications, and let's get started. So with the ancestral altar, today I'm not going to go through why you put each item at the altar. If you want to learn about that, you're free to take private classes with me or come to some of my group classes. But for the sake of the video, what I'm going to do is tell you some of the essentials, and I'll throw one or two details in, right? So the first thing is this white cloth, right? This is a place for elevation of the ancestors, elevation for the spirit. Remember, the sky is not black. The next thing I'm going to put is a goblet, right? You would be putting it in the center, preferably. For me, because of the video, so that it doesn't block me, I'm going to put this here. I believe in safety. There's no amount of spirituality that you can have that's going to trump safety. So I like to put a candle holder or something of the sort on the altar. Why? I've seen many people have fires altar, either glass being broken or too much heat, or they get dark spots on their altar cloth. So this prevents all of that. All right, I'm going to fill up this water. And we have water here for clarity, for flow, as a catalyst for the spirit, right? And for people who read water, this is perfect, right? And for me, when I teach this, it's all the way to the brim, all the way up. Cool, clear, and clean. If you remember my other video from the 11 mistakes, we went through clean, not clean water glasses, right? This is beautiful. It's clean. The next thing is that you need something to anchor the altar. So anchoring the altar is usually with something, some kind of spiritual item, a rosary, a cross, your choice, based on your tradition. So if you're a person watching this and your family is Muslim and you're choosing to put an altar, then you need to put things there that are for Muslim, for Jewish, for Hindu, whatever your tradition is, including Christianity. We sell these in the store. These are really, really special. These are crosses made out of olive wood, which for Christians, this is a cat's meow, right? So this can be here. It can be back here. I'm going to put one on the side just so I give you guys ideas. This is a cross with a Christ. You can put it on the wall. Let's say this is the wall in your home. Some people have these in metal. We sell them also in metal. You can put it inside the glass. But for those of you who really don't totally identify with the Christian cross, the Ankh, which is the first version of that, is perfectly, perfectly fine. The Ankh can be put at the altar, still to represent the God force, right? So for the sake of the video, I'm going to put this one here. You can put it on the inside. You can also put it in front, right? So the next thing that I like to put at the altar is the offering of tobacco. So you can have a pipe with loose tobacco inside. People who have Indian relatives, also it's great for them. A lot of far-reaching ancestors love tobacco, the smell, the smoke. Spirit travels in the smoke. But if you're a person that you have issues with this, just burn some incense at the altar. You can still do that even if you have this, but if smoke is an issue for you, or tobacco is an issue for you, then just burn a little incense, right? So I'm just giving you an example.
You can do a cigar and or tobacco. And we sell these in the store, these little corn pipes. They're fantastic for the ancestors, especially people who are of American heritage. So then, another essential is we sell these here also. These are really, really sturdy espresso cups, so you can put coffee here, lasts all week. You don't have to worry about putting a big cup of coffee, and you have a saucer and or a larger plate to put offerings for the spirit, right? I like to put sweets. I believe that my relationship with the spirit should always be sweet, and so I leave sweets at my altar all the time. These sweets, when you're ready to exchange them, you can eat them, throw them outside for good luck, share them with other people, whatever. But it's really nice to keep sweets at your altar. Da-da-da-da. The picture. There are many people who say, I don't have pictures of relatives. You can write relatives' names and put them on a nice sheet of paper or something at your altar. If you have pictures of relatives, you can put pictures of relatives at the altar, right? So me, I like to put them in a nice frame. I think that when you leave them out, they get really kind of curled up and yucky. So I like to put them in a frame on the wall or on the table if you have a big enough space for that. And remember in my mistake video, no living people in the picture on the altar, right? And for people who are a little bit more advanced, who have an ancestral staff, which is really more people who are in the Lukumi tradition, at their ancestral altar, they will have a staff of the ancestors that is consecrated. But you, if you are not a priest or not into the tradition, but you want to have a space for your ancestors, you can have a staff that you tap on the ground to call them at times when you go to your altar. So this is an example of one that we sell in the store. This one has two faces and snakes and all that kind of stuff on it. But you can also have something like a cane for a relative who may be passed on, grandparents, whomever that may have used the cane. You can also have things at the altar that really are reminiscent of them. One of the last things that is really nice to have at the altar is almost a mandatory, and so in many
or a wheat small slice. I wonder if this has the same quality ingredient.
Circles, especially Lukumi Santeria circles, a libation is necessary of some kind of clear liquor or clear liquid. In this case, this is rum, right? So we've got that as an essential. And one of the last things, some kind of noisemaker. I like noisemakers at the altar, and I think people need to do that because it kind of brings the attention. I'm here. I'm ready to speak. I'm ready to talk. And remember, I did not show one to you today, but I want to remind you, whatever you pray with, Bible, prayer books, your phone, whatever, say prayers for the ancestors in the context of what their religious lineage is. So if they were Christians, say some prayers from the Bible, right? If they are Jewish, say some of those prayers from the Torah, from the Quran, wherever, right? Give them some of the things that they were used to hearing when they were alive. I hope that this has been helpful. You learned some things, you got some clarity, and you're enjoying having an ancestral altar, or this has inspired you to do so. One of the last things, do not put the altar up if you're not going to maintain it, because this is a blessing for you to have your altar set up. So, all of you, if you want to know what exactly is this advanced ancestral stick, comment below. And definitely, definitely keep in touch with us, because below, again, in the link, I'm going to give you a special prayer for the ancestors, Once you click on it, it's going to take you straight to the prayer, and you can either print it out, put it at your altar, or whatever. That's my special gift to you. So comment below, thumbs up, share us with the others, and come visit us in the store. See you next time. Ashe, ashe, ashe. Thanks for watching. Welcome back, and this is Alemi from Yayeo Botanica, and today we're going to have a short video class on mistakes that people make at their ancestral altar. So let's get started. So today it's like the craze, right? Everyone wants an ancestral altar. And I noticed that online and all over, everyone's talking about an ancestral altar. And I think it's really, really positive that our ancestors are being kind of lifted up and that people really see a lot of because in other countries, ancestral worship is all the time, whether it be in the Hindu tradition, many African practices, traditional Indian practices, in Asia, all over the world, ancestral worship or ancestral veneration is what is done on a daily basis. It's cultural. It's not something that people need to really incorporate. It's already a part of their training, right? But for us here in the United States, I see that there's a really big push with that these days, and especially in communities of culture, communities of people who are of black and brown skin culture. So today is a great day to talk about some of the mistakes people oftentimes make at their altar. We know that the ancestral altar is really there to uplift the ancestors, because when they're uplifted, we're uplifted. When they're strengthened, we're strengthened. So, and it's a wonderful place also to find healing, to heal a family, to heal the person, to have them express themselves to their ancestors, that they can get that kind of love and comfort that can help to heal their family and heal them, as I said before. But in order to do that really well, we need to make sure that we're not making some detrimental mistakes, right? And so the first thing that I would say is that the ancestral altar needs to always be clean. I have seen hundreds of altars, and some of them have dust all over. It's confusing. It's got all this bing-bang. You know, I bought this tchotchke at this fair, and I have this tchotchke, and all these different things that are just so confusing and messy. Absolutely not. That is a no-no. Why? Because you want, when you're getting spiritual information, for it to be clear. Well, if your altar's a mess, then that's what's going to be going on here. If your ancestors, do you know what happens if you pour sugar into a cup? If your ancestors are confused, then how can they truly help you to evolve, right? And how are you helping them to evolve, right? You don't go up a ladder 10 rungs at a time. You're going to fall off of it. So organization is very, very, very important, especially at the altar. It needs to be clean. I've seen altars where there's too much incense, dust, and dirt all over. It looks horrible. It's not good presentation, and it is not inviting for the spirit, right? So as an example, this is an incense holder that we have in the store. We're always burning incense in here. This is fine. It's in something. It's in case. But there are times it's all the ashes falling all around it. Clean it up, right? We're telling them something about how we feel about them based on the environment that we're giving them to live in, right? So for me, these are nice, easy ways, too. I put a lot of either pebbles, in this case there's rice in here, you stick your incense, all the stuff falls in there. Perfectly good way, homegrown cheap way to keep it clean and to keep it very confined. So we talked about cleanliness. We talked about order,
right? So the next thing is the glasses need to be clean. I love going to people's houses. The ancestors' water is all the way down here. There's stuff stuck all to the glasses. It's gross, totally gross. If you see this glass, it has a ring going around it. Well, this is a glass that we have in the store for the spirits. We clean them once a week. Perfect. But not all the time. People have their glasses dried up all the way down here and go, oh, here's my altar. Well, the water is a catalyst for the spirit. And again, if there's no clarity, how can the spirit truly come through and impact your life in a really positive way? So, clean glass. I just put this here, and look at these bubbles going around already. The spirit is coming to the glass, coming to enjoy the benefits of the altar versus something like this.
Battery low.
Discovered is that there are times that people are very demanding to the spirit. I have this problem. Can you resolve this right now? I need this. I need this. I need this. I need this. It's all about what they need. There's no thank you. There's no, I pray that you are blessed by me putting this light here at the altar, by me giving you food, by me giving you these things. And I pray that you continue to give me and to help me have the means to be able to not only take care of you, but to take care of me. See how different that language is versus, you know, my boss has just been effing up all the time, and I need you guys to figure out how to resolve this problem for me immediately. That's not the way to speak to the ancestors. So it's good to have some assertiveness, but it's even more important to have some humility. And so I encourage you all to think about your language, because I listen to many people, and it's always me, 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 me. Yes, it is important that your life is filled, but it's a handshake. They were here before you. Without them, you wouldn't be here. So where's that respect, right? Where's that humility? So that I would encourage people, do not make the mistake of disrespecting them, because that can slow down your own progress, right? People who have passed away tragically too quickly on the altar. They passed away, they had a bad accident or got killed or something, died under horrible circumstances, boom, they're on the altar. No, spirit has to go through their own transition. In the Bible, it talks about 40 days and 40 nights. In some traditions, it's a whole year cycle. Other traditions, it's 16 months. Whatever it is your context is that your training is, whether it be you have an elder that you work with or someplace that you use as your resource, whatever it is, be careful of putting people on an altar who have died under tragic circumstances. Suicide, people should not be put on an altar unless you are getting some kind of guidance from someone who is very experienced and very seasoned with dealing with people who've passed on. I do contact. People come to me to contact people who've passed away and so on and so forth. Well, I've been doing this for quite some time. I'm clear about some of the things that shouldn't go on an altar. So I tell you, if you don't have someone to speak to about that, when in doubt, leave it out. So anyone who's passed tragically, do not put them on the altar, okay? Even if it's a parent. And that's something, again, you're free to inbox me if you have a question about a parent, the way tragically, that either you have them on your altar or you would like to do that. If you have not done it, don't start until you get it.
Here's your journey on Facebook. Whether you're looking to make a difference, start a new project,
I apologize about the ads.
If you have not done it, don't start until you get an answer. Mixing an intention altar and an ancestral altar. So, again, there are people who, they have an altar, they put it up for their ancestors, but then they'll come to the store, and in the Botanica, they're going to buy their money drawing candle, or they're going to purchase their love drawing candle. That's not the ancestor's job. That's for your spirit guides or other guides. So if you're going to have an altar specifically for the ancestors, it can be a big, giant counter where this part is for the ancestors and this part is for money and this part. But mixing them together, again, causes a dilution of your message, right? Is the altar for money or is it for me? I'm the ancestor. What's going on? Which one is it? Right? So it's good not to mix these things together. It's good to have them separated. Pictures of people who are alive on the ancestral altar. This is so big. I can't imagine how many of you guys are watching this video right now going, my picture's on there with Aunt Jo, or these people are mixed together. It is best. Ancestral altar is for people who are deceased. Living people can have their picture there temporarily for something. Example, someone is having a hard time with maybe a childbirth, right? Having a child, or there's a special relative not doing very well and you're asking the ancestors to help them. That is a temporary thing. Their picture may be up there for 21 days, 30 days, 7 days, something, but it's not staying there permanently. Living people should not permanently be in a picture or represented at an altar, on ancestral altar, unless you know what you're doing 100%. All right? Many people have learned that you put down food offerings for the ancestors, right, at the altar. No rotting food. No dried up food on a plate. No rotting fruit, nothing rotting, nothing rotting. And if it's something sour, as an example, a lime with fruits, or, you know, maybe you gave them an offering and you gave them lemonade, that's one thing. But overall, try not to leave things there that are not things that you would consume. If you're not going to eat it, don't leave it there. If you're not going to eat it, don't give it to them, right? So please keep that in mind. We want to treat them the way that we would want to be treated. Because just because they're not physically around doesn't mean that spiritually or metaphysically that they're not around. They're everywhere. They're inside of your body. Their blood is your blood, right? So let's be conscientious about how we treat our ancestors. Do not slave the ancestors. You got to do this for me, and now I'm not going to put any food here until you do this and you do this and you do this. You need to be careful, again, with trying to enslave them, treating them like they work for you, not with you. Again, I mentioned the clean glasses with the beautiful clear water, nothing dirty. So if you put coffee, the coffee has mold, remove it. If you have anything that is dirty, you want to give them a beautiful, clean environment, including periodically changing their white cloth that you have at the altar. Their white cloth should be white. One of the don'ts is do not put black cloth with water or any kind of setup on the altar. The ancestors' fabric or color can be multicolor, like an African fabric or something like that, and or white. Something multi that's still bright and refreshing, or white, but not black. And lastly, no black candles. Why? Because the ancestors are people who have passed on that need elevation and light. Well, white is an elevating color. The sky's not black, only at night. It's light more than it is black, and it's really light with a reflection of darkness, right? So at the end of the day, no black candles for the ancestors. white is right in this context, right? White candles are what they need, and they definitely need that for a very long time until you're seasoned and you're very experienced with having the altar and then knowing how to change the colors periodically. And the last thing, flowers that die really easily. Those of you that put flowers on your altar, please do not put flowers with thorns. It's best to use things like daisies, carnations are number one, things that are hardy, that last for a very long time, fantastic. But flowers that die quickly, like roses, and have thorns, it is advisable not to use those. Why? Because, again, you want to have a loving, sweet, caring interaction with them and not a prickly, harsh one, right? So good luck to you. I hope this is really helpful. You got some things to think about, maybe some adjustments to make. And good luck, Ashe, and see you next time. Thanks for watching.
Thank you.
guys enjoyed that. This was the premiere of my new series, Ancestral Tea. Thank you, thank you, thank you for being here with me. If you need to contact me, please utilize the show notes. My link tree is in the show notes. Link tree, you can get our Facebook group, book a session. I do private sessions, soul sessions, right? Intuitive soul sessions. So if you need to contact me for anything, utilize my link tree. Everything is there. Definitely appreciate you guys again for coming on with me. During the week, as I do pop-up shows, you know, Ancestral Tea was today, and Royal Rising Information is another thing that I do during the week as the pop-up. So thank you, thank you, thank you for that. So, yeah, I mean, that's it, guys. Hope that helped you as much as it helped me. I even was going about some mistakes that I still make, you know what I mean? So very informative, very helpful for you guys. So thank you. Please join me every weekend at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central here at the Henderson Awareness Radio. And that's all I have for you guys, all right? So join me again periodically, randomly during the week. I'll pop on and do that. And weekends. Yep, 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central on weekends. I'm here every weekend, guys. So, yep. All right, guys. So next time. And her information is in the show notes. So please go subscribe to her channel. Definitely appreciate her for how I divinely connected with her videos. So, all right, guys. Again, this podcast was dedicated to my grandmother, Catherine Mask Boyd. All right. Love you, love you, love you, guys. Till next time. Peace.
Hey, 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 hey. Yeah, 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 yeah
I love you.